All right, well, let's, if you would, go to the Gospel of John, back to the Gospel of John. Really, this morning is going to be more sort of sharing than anything else. I've been spending a fair amount of time looking at the Gospels and a good bit of that time I've been spending in the Gospel of John, and we've considered some things over recent history of fellowships, I guess, from the Gospel of John. I wanted to spend a little time with, just to really think about some verses here in the first chapter of John. Last week we looked at Jesus Christ, and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And we considered some things along that, and really, that's sort of a whole Bible topic, his being the way, the truth, and the life. But, to see who he is and that we are in him, it's breathtaking. I never get tired of thinking about this, of looking at it, and really of growing in it. It's so awesome. But here in the first chapter of John, and I think that this chapter is familiar to most of you. We've spent some time here previously. But I want to pick it up in verse 14.
Which chapter?
Chapter 1. I'm sorry, I thought I said that. John chapter 1. It says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." This Word, we just briefly handled last week, and we've handled it previously. It's that it's translated from the word logos. And logos is a word that means it is the expression of a thought, but it also includes the thought behind the expression. This is referring back to the first few verses in the Gospel of John, where in the beginning was the Word. And that beginning that is being referred to is from the moment that God vowed to bring about that seed of the woman. And from that point forward, Jesus Christ is the subject of God's Word. And what we're going to see here is that that Word made flesh is regarding the Christ, regarding that promised seed, all the way back from Genesis 3:15. So verse 14. We're going to read down to verse 18 and then we'll come back. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, 'This was he of whom I spake. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me.'" Verse 16, "And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses." And we'll spend a few minutes with these verses. "The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And then it says, no man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. That word declared can mean to unfold, to explain. Okay? So we'll take a few minutes with that also. Just in considering some of these things. In verse 16, it says, and of his fullness have all we received. And then it says, and grace for grace. Okay. Now the next word, for, shows that this is connected to verse 17. So, and of his fullness have all we received, and grace, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by who? By Jesus Christ. Okay? And we're going to stop here for a moment. You've got two mentioned here. Jesus Christ, grace and, you know, grace for grace. We've got Jesus and we've got Moses. Okay? Now I want you to turn. We're going to keep a finger here or a ribbon or whatever. And I want you to go back to the book of Exodus. Genesis, Exodus. And we're going to pick it up in chapter 33. You know, it is easy to view the law, the Mosaic law, as antithetical to grace. But if you remember, in Romans, one of the purposes of the law was so that every mouth would be stopped. That's just a real polite way of saying shut up. Right? And that all the world would become, right, guilty before God. All the world guilty before God. But to look at the law as antithetical to grace really isn't correct. And then we're going to see that here in a moment. There was great grace in the law. And in Exodus chapter 33, we're going to pick it up in verse 11. We're going to read for a little bit here. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Boy, I'd love to get a video of that. I don't know what went on, but Joshua stayed there for a while. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, I don't want to go. For wherein, verse 16, shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight. You know what immediately preceded where we're reading here? It was the worshiping of the calf. Let us make ourselves gods. Get us back to Egypt. See? For this Moses fellow, we don't know what the heck's become of him. That's what had just happened previous to this. Found grace in thy sight. Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. You know what that is? That's sanctification. That's what that is. Separated out. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. I love Moses. You talk about, you know, this is the creator, okay? Okay, show me thy glory. And it's just, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful what happens here. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He's God. And we can never forget that. And he said, thou canst not see my face. There shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by, and I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. It's a remarkable section of scripture, but you see this relationship and this grace. And then it goes on, and the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first. Remember what happened to the first. Yeah. And I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou break. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto the Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount, and no man shall come up with thee. Neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone, like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, went up into the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud, and stood with him there, and proclaimed the name of the Lord. It said that word Lord is from Jehovah, Yahweh. Proclaimed the name of Yahweh. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, slow to anger, and abundant in goodness. And the word goodness in the Hebrew, really, it's, you could translate it, loyal love. Sometimes it's translated in other translations as loving kindness. See? But it's a loyal love. See, these were the things that were declared regarding the name of God. Gracious, merciful, slow to anger, loyal love. You know, when you consider Israel, were they loyal to God? No. Is God loyal to them? Then it says, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people. And pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels, such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do. And that word terrible is awesome. It's an awesome thing I'm going to do. Observe thou, verse 11, that which I command thee this day. And then he goes on, you know, he's going to drive all of these peoples out. And basically it's a renewing of the covenant that Israel had broken in the previous chapter. But here we see the great grace. You know, in Galatians. You know what? Let's just turn there real quick. Galatians chapter 3. The law, in addition to making clear that no man could be righteous on his own, also made clear the need for a Savior. It pointed toward the Christ. And the law provided a way whereby men could receive forgiveness and righteousness. Isn't that something? In those sacrifices, those things that pointed, it was great grace. And it was also great grace in that by way of that law, by way of that Mosaic law, and by taking these people unto himself as his own, he preserved and protected that Christ line. What did I say? Galatians. Galatians 3. Boy, you know, these pages are getting really old. All right, we're just going to pick it up in let's pick it up in verse 21. It says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given, which could have given life, meaning spirit life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scriptures concluded all under sin. That the promise by faith or the believing of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, before believing came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our, and the King James reads, schoolmaster. It's a word for tutor. Was our schoolmaster or our tutor to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by what? Faith, by believing, see. That tutor, in this culture, they would see to the children. They would make sure the children got to school or got to whoever they were being taught by. They saw to their needs. They cared for them. They saw to their protection, you know, to and from. And this is the illustration that's being drawn here. That's what the law was. It was our tutor until believing came, which was Christ. Isn't that something? The believing. The grace and the truth of the law pointed toward the grace that would be manifested in Christ himself. And the truth in Christ himself. We have received grace for what? Grace. A beautiful way to understand that is Jesus Christ. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. We'll just read it. You guys following?
Yeah.
All right, good. Verse 16 again. For of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. That grace that was given, demonstrated by way of the law, see, for the grace that it all pointed to, which was Christ. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth, and really, it helps you understand it if you supply the article here. For the grace and the truth came by Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Then it says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. This in the bosom of the Father, really, it's a Hebrew idiom, and it's a tender, loving thing. He being in the bosom of his Father. It says that no man has seen God at any time. Now we know from Scripture, we read it in Exodus. No man's going to look on the face of God and live. Right? In Colossians, he's the invisible God. In John 4, verse 24, God is spirit. God is spirit. But it was Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father, that declared or made him known. And that is to the end where he could say, and we read this a couple weeks earlier, he could say to Philip, Philip said, look it, I don't really understand what you're saying right now. If you show us the Father, we're good. And Jesus' response was, Philip, have I been so long with you? If you've seen me, you've what? You've seen the Father. It was Jesus Christ that made known, declared God. Men attempt, you know, to try and, what does God look like? What is God like? Who is God? And anything that you come up with outside of the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're in error. And it's going to lead to idolatry. It's Jesus Christ that made known the Father. So when you see Jesus Christ, and we'll look at a couple things, or I'll remind you of a couple records. But when you see Jesus Christ, he's angry. You see what displeases God. Do you remember the record where he went into the tabernacle? or into the synagogue. And it was a Sabbath day, and he saw a man with a withered hand. And it says they looked on him. They were waiting to accuse him. You know? He said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or evil? And he says he looked round about on them with anger for the hardness of their hearts. They could have cared less about that man. All they cared about was their version of the truth, their version of the law. No heart, no love, no mercy, no grace. They had taken the word of God and they had crushed people with it. That was never God's heart. And Jesus Christ manifested God. You know what he did? He healed the man. That's right. And then you know it says they did. They wanted to kill him. Yeah, but his hour wasn't come. See, that's our Lord. So you see, you know, God's concern for people. Records where Jesus Christ saw the multitudes and he had what? Compassion. It teaches us about our Heavenly Father. And not only in his actions, when he healed, you know, when he just loved people, but in his words, he spoke that which God wanted spoken. You know? I mean, you think about compassion, the parable that he told regarding the forgiving father, sometimes it's known as the prodigal son. And this son forsook his father. He left. Boom. You know, but wasn't all, you guys are familiar with the parable, but when it was all done, the son had nothing. He had nothing. And he wanted to come back, and he was ashamed. And the father saw him a far way off and ran to him. See, that's our God. That's who Jesus Christ is making known with his life, with his ministry, with how he walked, with his words. All of those things make known the Father. You know, Jesus Christ, you know, we've looked at different records in the Gospel of John. He describes himself as the living water. Right? In John 6, he describes himself as the living bread or the bread of life. He's the bread of life, which points to God as the source of that life. Who sent the bread of life? That's right. It's our Father. Isn't that amazing? You know, all of these things. I am the door. I'm the door. It's a beautiful picture, beautiful illustration. It would be the one little thing in a sheepfold where only the sheep could go. No enemies, no wild animals. And there's great security and peace in that. And outside of Christ, there is no real peace and there's no real security. Outside of Christ, there's no real life. You know? Not real life. I'm the light of the world. Well, who's the source of that? Yeah, it would be God.
Exactly.
And outside of God, there's really no true light. There's no true illumination of any kind. And what Jesus Christ told us is, you walk in darkness. We don't have to walk in darkness. So you consider all of these things. I am the way, the truth, the life. He's the way to the Father. You know, and then we learn that all who believe on Him are in Christ. You know, you think about that, you chew on that. See, that's our God. That's our God of grace. None of us deserve this. We never will. So get over it. Really, get over it. Jesus Christ did this. He was the grace. He was the truth that God was waiting for because of His great love. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. So, I think that's what I wanted to share.